And basically, it was Perserabo's sick, twisted concept was basically creating this unwinnable maze of death.
Yeah.
To basically tempt Dawn and be like, come and get me, Dawn. And Dawn would basically lead his honor guard through this bloody maze of death mm-hmm. to get to Perserabo. And of course, he got absolutely unbelievably decimated.
Yeah.
Like lost a significant amount of Imperial Fists. And was really depressed and went into a really depressive stupor that he never really
was. That just hubris, the fact that he went in there like after him, or what?
I think Perserabo was like tempting him or whatever, being like, come and get me, Don, man, or something.
Fucking hell.
Welcome to the In the Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40k goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live.
We are indeed live. Welcome, everybody, to In the Tank. How are you, my beautiful, sexy co-host, Edward?
I'm beautiful and sexy. How are you, my luscious and gorgeous co-host?
Look at this. This is weird. I'm doing good. I'm doing okay, actually. Yeah, doing all right. Doing all right. Slightly stressed as there's loads of like gas work going on outside, but it's all fine. Yeah. We'll be fine. If there is like a rough cut, not to reveal like the secrets behind the wizard sleeve, curtain sleeve.
Wizard sleeve?
Sleeve. I was literally trying
to. Don't get that out on camera. You'll get us banned.
only fans. That you know, you'll see that like some annoying gas person has had to come and have a chat to me, but it's all good. So what have you been working on, Ed?
Oh, what haven't I been working on?
You've had some deliveries.
I have.
You're
like,
wowzers, man! What's been going on? What's been going on in your hobby world?
Well, I mean, continuing my trend of spending obscene amounts of money with James from March of War, just to try and build the most incredible trench crusade.
Okay, that's your number.
I know, right? God bless him. Yeah, just to try and build the most incredible trench crusade modular board of all time. Learning lots from other YouTubers that have done this, by the way. There's some incredible channels out there, and I will be sure to name drop things that I have learned from other channels because I think it's worth, you know, credit where it's due. I've learned a lot. So we're going to be undertaking that probably the week after next in terms of like getting it all together. So it's just been a case of like de-sprueing everything from all the 3D printing stuff and kind of organizing it and figuring out the layouts and the board and how we want to do it, et cetera, because the way we're doing it obviously is modular. So it means that we can kind of do different, do different things. And a lot of people, we're not the first to do this, by the way. There's like shitloads of hobby people and creators out there that have done this already to varying degrees of success. But I think that we're going to come at it from a slightly different angle. So it's going to be quite good fun. So that's what I've been mainly working on. Not really doing much 40K stuff, to be honest with you, just trying to get that sorted. What about yourself?
I've been doing loads.
You've been schizophrenic.
We've got a massive channel update thing to discuss, but like in that vein, I've been doing loads of stuff. Thank you, by the way, everyone that logged in for my birthday drop off in Discord. That was amazing.
It was good fun.
Especially shout out to Apollo. Like, you were great company throughout the day. But it was just very sweet to have fans of the channel and just generally just pop in and say hi on my birthday. I did the geekiest thing ever by just literally hobbying all day. And I have decided I'm going to do this every year.
Yeah, you
should. For my birthday, it's just like log on, like get slightly drunk, like paint some models, drink from my monkey shoulder. I also ordered, as a treat to myself, the hobby deck.
Yes, you did.
Configured myself a hobby deck to be more sociable with my family, as previously discussed. But in terms of what I've been painting, my God, I've been hitting it hard. So I've been doing, obviously, my Iron Sultanate, including getting one of my lions done, which is very cool, and my big old bully bastard with a wicked verdigris colour scheme thing, which you've seen. What did you think?
I thought they looked awesome. You've got very good at painting sort of throbbing veins, which worries me slightly. I don't know where you're sort of like...
What happened there, right?
I don't know where you got that from.
When I was putting my like third or fourth highlight on them, I was like, do I feel weird?
Yeah.
I was like, do I feel
Am
a bit weird?
Am I just doing a big veiny cock here, or is this an arm? Like,
it looked worse before the highlights.
Yeah, it looks great
because they
now
were just big dark veins.
They kind of got this sort of like blue nuclear frosty glow, like purple glow. It looks very cool. Like almost like arcane energy sort of pulsing through this.
Yeah,
very,
my very vibe cool. is like, my vibe is otherworldly and archaic and like kind of like
hit that for
and
sure.
I also discovered that I can run two alchemists in the alchemaic sort of different warband.
Yeah,
so I'm running three lions on a shirt and loads of alchemists and loads of cool shit, so I'm going to be ready. And of course that's what I'm going to be working on in June. So I'm going to try and get that warband done in June. Because I don't have any 40k events on the foreseeable future.
No.
I am going to try and do the LGT, but that's much later in the year. That's like August, September time, I think. Maybe even October.
It's September, late September usually, I think.
Oh, right. Okay, fine. So I've got time now to like mong out and do what I want to do for a change, rather than have the pressure of time kind of be on my back, if that makes sense. So my plan is to use June to get my warband for my Sultanate done.
Yep.
But for funsies, until June, and also after the fact, I'm doing some Death Guard. So from now until the beginning of June, I'm just having fun painting some Death Guard. I'm doing my dredge. I'm doing my dredgy
They're
Death Shroud.
Cool as well.
So thank you. And they are cool. They are fucking cool.
A lot of trim.
So I'm like, lot of fucking trim. Like, to the point where I've nearly done my squad of six Death Shroud. Dredge Death Shroud with trim.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my normal six squad of Death Shroud and going, I'm just going to do the Dredge six because I just cannot bear the thought of doing another six Death Shroud trim.
Yeah,
I just can't deal with that right now. So I'm just going to do the box of six and not want to kill myself. Right?
Yeah,
so that's the plan with that. But yeah, so I've been in loads of funky hobby stuff. Like,
that's been great.
It's been really cool. It's been really like creative, actually, for thing. So, and of course I want to get my Death Guard done at some point. I'm sure they're going to get nerfed.
Probably, but it doesn't matter. So, like, you know, it'll be fine. By the time you get around to finishing the army, they'll be nice and settled, probably.
It'll be rebalanced again at that point. And also, like, I'm running the weird detachment. I'm running the detachment that isn't being played at the moment, which is the Terminator one.
That's fun, that one.
We shall see.
We shall see. Nice.
Just before we crack on to the major subjects, two things. One, of course, call to action, lol. Like, comment, subscribe.
Damn.
Shut the fuck up, Ed. Please log on to our Discords.
Yes.
And check us out, because obviously y'all would have been doing the hobby hangout as well. And we might, we need to talk about this as well, because we will be doing more hobby hangouts in the future. But yes, log on, hang out with us, talk shit to us, send me 15-20 messages because Space Wolf pre-orders have come out, and everyone's like, Lord Russ, get your Space Wolf pre-orders in now. And like, honestly, I've had like 20 messages about that over the last like week. It's been just...
half of them have just been from John, I think, to be honest.
Bless it.
Good old Warbus John.
So that's all cool. So yes, and follow us on Insta. I'm Count Ruscular.
And thank you to our Patreons as well, and for those of you that do support the pod, you're absolute legends. You help make this more affordable for us to keep going with. On that note, just to let you go, because obviously Russ was about to sort of branch into this anyway, you may have noticed that we missed a week last week. Now, we did announce it in the Discord, but obviously all of you listeners won't be in the Discord. Just to let you guys know what is going on, we are dropping the pod to every other week. The reason we're doing that is because both of us obviously got busy lives with both dads, et cetera, but I've got a lot of stuff that I'm undertaking with the barn at the minute, which is just taking up tons of my time and not leaving me with much room for editing podcasts at the minute. So it's just making things a little bit easier for us to slot in. We had a few weeks where we needed to do like back-to-back episodes and various bits and bobs just to keep it going weekly for you guys. And we don't want to mess up the continuum. So we will be doing every other week from now on.
We also came to the conclusion as well that we'd make a better pod every fortnight.
Yeah, there were good reasons to do it.
Yeah.
Because we felt like we'd have more energy, be more excited for it, and have better topics, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that, like, we churn out quite a lot, actually, because a weekly podcast is quite a lot, actually.
It is.
And, you know, we have some fans that are still catching up with episodes anyway. Yeah. So, like, there'll be still plenty to listen to.
On the off weeks, what we're going to try and do is jump into the Discord around the time that we normally record, which is 11 a.m. on a Thursday. For those of you that do listen and that aren't in the Discord, jump in. And for those of you that are, you know, obviously jump on. You'll see us probably just sat chilling in the lobby chatting to each other if we're both around.
Most doing hobby.
Yeah, it's just hobbying, basically. So come join us and have a little chat. It's quite nice to talk to you guys. Like Russ did on his birthday, it's lovely to just hang out and have a natter with everyone and see what everyone's up to. So yeah, jump on. And
pretty much there will always be one of us, two of us, or whatever there at that time every other week.
You can see whether or not Russ has found his Emperor's gold yet.
Have you fucking stolen my Emperor's gold?
No.
Have you actually, though?
So, just for you guys that aren't aware, I nipped over to Russ's yesterday.
Hold on a minute, for a little hangout, for
the morning with our boys, because we both had the day off.
Hold on a minute. Have you fucking stolen my Emperor's gold? How did you manage that? Have you actually?
That's such a. I'm so glad we did this live. It's so good.
What the fuck? Edward, what have you done? You've stolen my Emperor's gold. You actually have, haven't you? Fucker! You absolute twat! What have you done? This is genuine shock and rage. How did you manage that?
Sneaky, mate. Anyway, moving on. We'll let Russ try and catch.
What the fuck? What the actual fuck? You are in so much trouble. Where did you put it? You put it somewhere in this room.
You'll find it eventually. Anyway, on to our first topic of the week.
Little fucker!
Do we have any 40k news that we need to catch up with, Russ? Or are we good? Emperor's gold in short supply.
You fucker. Logan, you should have said nothing and just watched me go insane.
I was going to, but then I thought it'd be worth doing it live on pod that I couldn't resist.
You're such a sick fuck. You're so lucky I was playing my Death Guard and shit.
Yeah.
Because I would have had no idea, because I'm not using Emperor's Gold in my Death Guard scheme.
I was so tempted to just leave it and see how long it took you to find that it was missing. But then I thought, you've ordered a load more, so I thought it wouldn't have mattered. So I thought, I'd just do it live on pod and wind you up. It's great.
You're such a little bastard.
I am.
Wow. That was genuine shock live on air, by the way. Well done.
I really enjoyed that.
I mean, I partly can, but after the chat, I'm going to fucking kill you. Right, okay, so, cool. Okay, let me try and reset my brain after that. I'm going to try and like bring my hormones back to like normal levels, like because I'm a little bit pissed off at you right now.
Perfect.
So, does 40k have a scale problem?
Mm.
AKA the ever-growing base sizes, tank sizes, etc., right? Yep. So, like, how do we feel about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously we've got, you know, if you look at the sort of old Space Marine bikes and then you compare them to the new, you're still in outrage, aren't you?
If you compare them
to the new Outriders, if you put those side by side, they are massive. And I know that obviously we now have Primaris Marines and they need a suitable vehicle that's sized up to be able to ride. They can't ride the old bikes. They'd be like fucking roller skates for those boys. But like, you know, everything does seem to be slowly creeping up in terms of just the scale of models. Because I think are we 28 mil heroic scale now in 40k?
Yeah, technically, yes. Yeah. But Space Marines are obviously 32 mil.
Yeah.
And obviously that was never always the case, right? Back in there, they were like 25 mil when Rogue Trader first came out, right? And like they've been sneaking up and sneaking up, right? And even the Guard are on like...
They're bigger like, now, yeah.
Aren't they on 28 now?
I think so, possibly.
Right?
Maybe 25.
I mean,
they're bigger. I think that there are some things that are creeping. I think Marines are especially guilty of it. In terms of like the size creep, obviously because of the
Primaris. Because at the same time, right, we don't judge 40k from like a Guard scale, do we? Really?
No.
Let's be real.
Marines are kind of the scale,
like the gold standard for either side, right? And I don't know about you, but I have definitely noticed, especially with like mainstream marine lines, obviously with the Primaris revolution and stuff like that. Tanks are way bigger. Impulses, repulses are massive. They're like Land Raider size, right?
I mean, if you compare like rhinos to an impulser, for example, they're tiny. Like they are a little baby. I don't know how that fits. What is it, 11 or 12 Marines you can put in there? I mean, they must be fucking Tetris.
It never did, to be fair.
Yeah, but they must be Tetris in now, like, you know, because it's nuts. So,
good reference. And what does that mean? Like, and we were talking about it actually weirdly when you visited.
Yeah, we were.
Right? Before you fucking stole. How did you. I still don't know how you snuck into my office, you little shit. That's nuts. I don't know how he did that. I'm just bemused. But like, we were talking about it when we talked, because we were looking through the Death Guard Codex, and we were talking about whether all of the Pred Rhino variants, Vindicator variants, or whatever, will survive next edition.
Yeah.
Or whether they will obviously have to replace them with like a bigger alternative, whether they're going to upscale eventually Rhinos, Predators, Land Raiders, etc. Right. And it's an interesting thing to think about because
they're quite an old kit now as well, right?
Ancient, like over 20 years old.
They've been knocking around for I mean, they're iconic kits, but I mean, obviously they've reinvented them for Horus Heresy. They've got the different types of Land Raiders and they've got like the new Rhino, which you can really use in 40K anyway.
Everything is a bit smaller for Horus Heresy.
The Rhinos are similar size, to be honest with you.
But the Marines are smaller.
Yeah.
As a Primaris.
I think one of the Land Raiders is bigger and one of them smaller. They're a bit of a different shape to the current 40K Land
Raider.
They're
taller.
Yeah.
Because they use the Spartan chassis.
Yeah, that's a chassis.
Right? They just really good at squash it down a bit. Thank you. So it is bigger.
Yeah.
It is actually a lot bigger, right? And also the Marines are ever so slightly shorter.
They are,
Because they're obviously pre-Primaris size, right? So that kind of works. And it kind of works for Horus Heresy because you want it to be more stylistically appropriate for the era, right? But I do, but you know, what does this mean for like, will Primaris eventually rotate out all of those old school chassis, right? And also, will Chaos be left out in the lurch? Because it makes sense for Chaos to have all of those style of tanks because they wouldn't ever have access to the Primaris stuff. And also it makes sense because it would have been all the stuff left over from the Heresy, right? That they would have had from the old wars, like with the Imperium over 10,000 years.
I think a good example of this like size creep is Logan Grimnar, right? Like his new model is massive. And I know that obviously he's got the wolves on his base as well, which pad him out a bit, but he is a big lad, just generally speaking. So I don't know how big his base size is going to be. I feel like it's going to be like Gilliman sized almost. So,
yeah, it'd be Primarch sized. It'd be like all like small Primarch sized, like Abaddon, Lion,
Abaddon,
Gilliman,
Gilliman,
all on the same. I think it's 50 mil, or 60 mil.
60, I think. But 60, he feels like he'd almost be able to fit on like an 80. The wolves and stuff. He's
nah,
massive.
He won't be on 80. He'd be on 60. He will be the same as Demon Princes, Abaddon, the Lion, and Gilliman. Right?
We'll see. But he's a big boy. He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's massive. And like, especially if you compared him to his second ed iteration, where he was, because he's had three sculpts. He's had the OG Terminator sculpt, then the shitty chariot, Wolfie, I love wolves, chariot wolfiness. Slightly less wolfie, but still wolfie. I'm on a massive tactical.
He looks hard as
rock
now, though. I quite like him.
He's cool. Like, I actually
They've done him good.
The bit I love about him, they're doing right. The two things that I like, this is weird, the fact that I'm complimenting a Space Wolf sculpt makes me feel a bit dirty. But there are two things that I like about his sculpt. The first thing is his cool corner axe, which does look really cool, actually, even if it is janky. And his face.
Yep.
Because he looks so pissed off. He looks so, like,
angry. He looks grizzled and gruff.
He looks very much Billy Goat's gruff. Yeah. Like, he looks like he's not happy to be alive right now, and then you're going to be in his face. But is this a good thing, this scaling thing?
Yeah.
I mean, like it's kind of weird. This is a miniatures game, do you know what I mean, right? And if you compare our scale to, like, Napoleonics or Bolt Action or whatever, our models already dwarf over a lot of those. Even Trench Crusade. I'm literally looking at Trench Crusade now, and, like, my basic soldiers for Trench Crusades look tiny in comparison to that. Don't cry. The monsters are fucking massive.
The monsters are huge,
right? But then you look at 40k monsters and they are ginormous.
I mean, look at Bellicor.
Yeah. Bellicor, the Demon Primarchs,
yeah,
like any of those guys, big and guys. They're literally hunks of plastic. Right?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, and it's like knights as well, like with their knights scales and stuff like that. They can get really ridiculously big, obviously, but they're not generally played in 40k, the big ones, as we spoke about the other week. So
until the Codex comes out, we'll see. But like,
yeah.
But like, how do you feel about the size? Do you like the bigger size? Would you prefer it to go back to smaller size? Where you're at with that?
I mean, I think if they stuck where they are now and kept it along those lines, it'd be perfect. I don't think they need to shrink anything. I think it's good where it's at. I think it's a nice size visually on the tabletop. I think it looks good for most armies. I think if you start creeping any bigger than this, you're going to get into sort of a weird scale. And I think you probably wouldn't want that. But I think as it stands, it's perfect. And I don't think, you know, nothing should be bigger than the Outrider bike. I think they should stop there. Like, it's already, that's the max size bike.
You can make it in. As big as a bike that you're going
to
get.
I'm intrigued to see what the new sort of smaller variants of speeders are going to be, if they're going to do any. Like, I wonder if they will for when they do things like Ravenwing. Because Talonmasters and stuff are such a cool, iconic
kit. We want a Talonmaster back.
Oh, I'd love a Talonmaster. They're so cool.
Yeah. It would just put one in a Storm Speeder for all I care. That's
cool. Like, that'd be fine.
Although it looks a bit weird. Can you imagine a Talonmaster in there trying to swipe stuff with the fucking sword?
Yeah, it's a bit too big.
It's a little bit weird. Like, you're going to have
Brother
to
Brother Tinnitus, take us in low. I want to hit them with my sword.
maybe also having jet bikes on the horizon as well. Who knows? Yeah. I know that like the tech is technically, the tech tree's dead, right? But like,
well, you know, Cool's always finding a few STCs, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Knocking about, he's like, oh, I found another one.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, we'll see. But like, I'm of a slightly different opinion. I think they should be a tiny bit smaller.
Yep.
After painting, and it's because, right, if you had. And don't get me wrong, GW miniatures are incredible. Like they are the gold standards as far as I'm concerned, with some slight outliers of like how minimalistic good you need your miniatures to be in miniature wargaming, because they're so, so great. They are fantastic, right? My one beef with them is twofold, right? If you make your miniatures as big as they are with as much detail as they are, from a hobbying perspective, it's lovely, but it's a lot of work, right? What I'm discovering with Trench Crusade very quickly is that they're a bit smaller and they have less finickety details on them.
Yeah.
Which means that they're way more fun to paint and way quicker to paint, right? And I'm really enjoying that. But when you've got so much unnecessary detail on a lot of 40K models where it's like, bounce and things and grenade things and like fucking tentacles coming out of stuff. And I get that sometimes the flavor of that is amazing and stuff, right? But it makes your miniature sometimes look a bit frenetic and overcomplicated and a little bit like too detailed.
Certainly can be.
And it's a pain in the ass to paint. So it's, and it's a bigger surface area to paint, so it takes longer.
But arguably, if you made them smaller and kept the same level of detail, it'd be even harder to paint, right? So you've got to kind of. Lose a bit of that detail if you're going to make them smaller, surely.
Yeah, I guess. But like, but we have both said in the past that sometimes GW kicks are over-engineered, right? Where it's just...
That's,
it just
for me, more to do
well.
With the building. Like, when I... since because I've never really done 3D printing before, like, since getting into 3D printing, when I get, like, a warband through for Trench Crusade, and all I need to do is just peel it off of all of their, like... little supports and then just clean them up in like 2 seconds per model.
Yeah,
I'm like,
cool,
that's a dude just done. Like, I might need to glue a couple of bits together, maybe, sure. But like, that's it. Whereas with 40K, I'm like, I've just got to insert Captain What's-His-Name's asshole in between his butt cheeks. And then I've got to get his thumb on the back of his bolter. And I'm just like, ugh, do you really need all that wanky shit?
But this is also an interesting thing, right? Where if it was a case that you would have ultimate miniature customization with GW models, where you could then reposition 1,000 things and have things looking different and stuff like that. That's a great counter.
But that's not how it works. But
exactly.
Yeah, it's the
opposite. I was about to say that as time moves on, what we're getting is highly detailed impressive looking sculpts.
Monopose.
Incredibly monopose.
Yeah, and actually harder from a hobby perspective.
That looks 3D printed anyway. And looks 3D printed anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this about the lieutenant that came in the box for the launch box for 10th edition. You know the one with like the Tyranid shoulder pad?
Yes.
And like super cool model. No, he's all right. He's okay to build. But if you want to convert him at all, like his shoulder pad, not the Tyranid one, because you want to keep that because that's cool. Yeah. But like the other one, when I did him for Deathwatch, I had to like carve it all out. And it was so finickety to do. Whereas, you know, in the olden days, you would have just like popped a shoulder pad on. And you could have just changed it out. And like, you can't really do that a lot of the time anymore. All these kits are like, you know, conjoined in weird ways. Like, look at Aggressors. Like, all their, you know, the easy to build ones, at least, their shoulder pads are all attached to them.
But when you've got all the ammo feeds and stuff like that, they have to be in very sort of.
But like, the newer ones are fine because they've got shoulder pads that come on and off. But like, it's the monopose kits we're talking about here. They're very hard to sort of convert, and I love doing that. I think that's one of the best bits about the hobby is making an army your own, you know, and adding little details. So
yeah, and as a Chaos player now as well, like, I've been really enjoying that. Weirdly, I think some of the Chaos kits are way more modular than some of the Space Marine kits,
they
I find really bizarre.
The guys that you're chosen and stuff are great. Like, you've got so many options.
Well, this is it.
Not yours personally, I'm just talking about the kit. Jackie, yours personally are really lovely. But they are a bit more modular, yeah.
But, you know, even then with, like, some of the Death Guard stuff, I've had to go down some 3D skit with the dredge and stuff. Granted, I wanted to do that anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's definitely adding a lot of differences because fuck buying another unit of six Death Shroud that are just going to look exactly the same as my other unit of Death Shroud. And that's lame. That's
there isn't
so
enough
lame.
Variety in some of the kits. I will give you that as well. Like, with some of them, you can actually do a lot. Like, you can look at them and you can think, like Plague Marines, for example. There are, if you go through the Plague Marine booklet, it tells you how to build each guy. But actually, you can kind of go, and sort of start swapping bits in and out with shoulder pads. Like little bits here and there that will get in the way if you're not careful. But generally speaking, they're pretty good for that sort of stuff. And, you know, I love more of that. But like the Death Shrouds, it's just like the only things you can really swap about are like the heads and maybe the scythes and the scythe tips.
No, you can't
swap.
You can't.
Yeah, the scythe tips have got like one that's like a sort of chainsaw scythe tip and one that's like a normal scythe tip. But that's
only for the champion, though.
Okay,
that's
it's not enough, right? I'm saying we need more of that, more angles, more whatever. But they won't do that most of the time.
And the thing is, if you had a full unit of six, you'd be using both head options anyway, right? Because you wouldn't want.
And we've discussed this but in the past as well. Like, some of the kits are just. The way they make them is almost like they're trying to make it as hard as possible for you to magnetize them. If you look at the worst kit I've ever found for this, by the way, Hellbrutes. Don't know if you guys have ever looked at a Hellbrute kit or built one, but their shoulder sockets are basically like jagged. So that instead of being like a nice circular, you know, pop it together like a normal fucking dreadnought arm, they have made them specifically jagged so that you can only fit certain arms into certain places and that you need to use the different sort of fittings to get certain arms on. And I just thought, why the fuck have I know why they've done it. They've done it to make it as hard as possible to magnetize. Exactly. But like, less of that. It's bullshit.
That was the same with the Repulsor Executioner and stuff like that as well. Where I had to like physically cut the like gun ends and then drill and magnetize in there and stuff like that. So yeah, so essentially, like, the fact that GW is so iffy with their like magnetized option is an asshole, but it is what it is.
Nice.
Good.
Nice. We definitely didn't get interrupted by Russ's gas mask. Hashtag jumper.
Jumper. It's all good.
I reckon he's just nipped off to try and find his Emperor's gold. That's what it was. I
cannot fucking believe, like, honestly, you're still keeping that fire and light. You're still like, get back to us. I still cannot. When did you sneak off to do it?
Can't tell you. That's trade secret. Come on, magician
please.
Never reveals his tricks.
I'm going to say, was it when you were having a shit?
No.
When did you do this?
It's when my boy was on the toilet. I said to him, Teddy, I'm going to go and hide Russ's Emperor's gold. And he went, do it, Daddy. And I went, you okay to stay on the toilet for a second? And he went, yeah. And then I went off and did it. And I came back and he went, have you done it? And I was like, yeah, I've done it. And he was like, he's so me. It's amazing. He's just like a little clone
of me. You two
are
in cahoots.
We were.
You two
are
in cahoots.
I was like, great times. What a good lad.
Okay. Oh, God. Right, anyway.
Yeah.
Christ almighty. I've got to watch you two fuckers.
We're working together like in a league. Yeah,
man. God, no, there's
not even
two
three
of you.
Yet. God,
how does your wife cope? How does your wife cope? God.
Poor woman.
Oh, okay, anyway. So, on to one interesting topic to another. How do we fix 10th edition, Ed? There are some issues.
I think you should go first for this one, because I've got some good things to say about this.
I've got about four things to say on this subject, right? I want to have a disclaimer before we proceed. I love 10th. 10th edition is one of my favourite editions that I've actually ever played.
Yeah.
I like how smooth it is. I like the lack of stratagems in it. I love that there's only six stratagems. I don't like stratagems anyway. I find stratagems to be a bit annoying. But if we have to have stratagems, I'll take six.
So we've argued about this in the past. I love stratagems because I think that they add real flexibility and interest. No.
We don't need
the old days of 9th edition, I'll give you that. Like having like 20 strats of which were all like weirdly niche for particular units. I know what they've done. They've baked them all into units. Like, so you just get rerolls on Scorpec now. You just get this on that, you know. So that's,
which I like.
That's fine. That's easier because it's, I think from like a mental perspective, it's much easier to have it always present on a unit than it is to it like, oh shit, it's a little thing that I can do every now and then, because I think mentally that's a drain to hold all that shit in your head.
And also it really interrupts play when someone's like, I couldn't, some obscure strategy to help me out there. And it doesn't really reward high skill level as it does an academic ability to remember things.
Yeah, which I'm shit at, like, saying.
I'm also shit at, so like, not good. And actually, I've done better at 10th edition than
I'm a big fan of what Russ does, which is what I like to call the ravings of a madman. It's basically like, if you imagine a padded cell wall, that's what he brings, like a little sheet of paper that looks like a padded cell wall on an insane asylum. Like, it's all scrawled with like hexagrammatic shit all over it, and it's all like tight. It's got absolutely no like normal human organization in any way. Like, if you were to just give that to somebody, they'd be like, lock him up. Look at it. Look at the way it's fucking like laid out. It's got no, there's no sense to that for me personally, but it works for you, and I think that's a great thing,
didn't it? Well, but on the channel for the battle bar, it's been invaluable.
Yeah, because you can actually check it and go, oh shit, I can do that. And I think that's worthwhile.
Essentially,
you know,
all I'm trying to do with that is condense an entire codex into one page.
Do you think that Games Workshop should print something like that for each detachment?
Absolutely.
That'd be really cool, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Like, to just have like a little quick cheat sheet with like your abilities and when they happen and when you can do the strats and like, you know, just to remember and remind you. I think that'd be a cool, interesting thing. Games Workshop, hop on it. You can make some more dollar for your shareholders. Quick! Copyright. I just want 1% of the profits for that one, whatever you sell. That's all I'm asking for. Just 1%. That's fine.
They don't even pay their employees.
I know they don't.
Oh.
Anyway.
Sorry. So there we go. That being said, things I would change. My first thing I would change is how leadership works.
Yep. Yeah, it's not as impactful as it could be, is it, at the minute? Although, when it is, it really is.
Look, I don't think they have ever got leadership right. And I don't know how to fix it, but I can say that it's either not very impactful at all, or it's way over impactful in terms of its use, right? I don't know whether this is an impossible ask, actually, from a mechanical standpoint. It very well could be, in which case I'm being a dick, right? But I don't think how leadership has ever been dealt with in 40K has ever worked particularly well. And I don't know how you solve that issue.
You see,
right?
Go on.
No, you're good.
I was going to say, I think that what they should do with leadership, and they might do this in 11th edition, you never know. I think they should combine the current system, because I think that the way it works sort of mathematically, where having a leadership score rolling 2d6 and getting equal or higher than, and obviously you've got modifiers that you can apply, I think that's fine. But what I think they should do is make it so that you lose models like you used to, rather than losing all your OC, because that can be a real fucker against, like, you know, certain armies like Chaos Knights or Tyranids, you can just battle shock half your army in one go, or more if you're me and you can't make a single fucking leadership test whenever you get Shadow in the Warped. But like, that can really fuck you out of a game. But I think if you made leadership just like a morale thing where you start losing a guy or two, like it used to be, but with the same rolling system you've got now, that could be really good, because it's not you as hard, but it still fucks you over time.
I agree. I actually agree with this, right? Make it so that, because losing models kind of makes sense, because it's where people are dropping off because they're like punching their ball, or they're like,
yeah, they're fleeing going, from battle.
This, I'm you know? Out of here. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. I'm gone. Even if they're Marines, they're taking like a tactical fallback or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, and like, that makes a lot of sense to me, right? I think you're right. I think the problem with doing the zero OC thing is it makes it so unbelievably swingy that if you're lucky and you pass that test, nothing has happened.
Yeah.
And if you're unlucky and you have failed that test, you have lost an objective.
Yes.
Which could literally swing an entire game.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So it's feel bad in both regards, because either it's going to do everything or nothing. There's going to be no extra effect on that, right? And obviously with Night Lords and stuff like that, you could do it so that, you know, you lose extra models or, you know, like, you know, whatever. What I do like, though, is the if you fail a battle shock, you can't use any stratagems on that unit.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Or do actions.
That
that's
makes
fine.
A lot of sense. Like, or do actions.
Maybe. That's fine as well.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. You know? And maybe you could say with Night Lords or stuff that really wants to affect leadership, that that unit can't shoot as well or something, right?
I might be getting
still
too far.
Has to have, maybe.
Yeah,
still
that's probably getting too far. But I think just getting the OC out there and killing shit, bro, like, I think is probably good. Or like doing damage to something, I don't know. Like, the thing is, you argue, okay, what do we do with vehicles where they can't run off? Like, do you just take a bit of damage? Like, do you...
Their crew can't move or shoot.
Yeah, something like, I don't know. There's got to be a slightly different way of doing it. But I do think, like, just losing all your OC can be quite painful.
And very swingy.
Yeah, very swingy. And I also think that abilities that make you battle shock should only be done with line of sight. And I think that that is because, like, as much as I love my triple psychomancer when I'm playing my Necrons, it does feel a bit dirty to just be able to be like, take a battle shock at minus one, take another one, take another one. Huh?
You can't even see them, right?
Yeah, they're just
see
hiding
the unit and just be like,
I just had to be like, within 18 inches. And as I don't want it to get nerfed because it's really good, but at the same time, it's not really good for the game. And I feel like for those sort of abilities, and maybe for things like Shadow in the Warp or even whatever, maybe you just do everything that's within visual range of like your Tyranid's army, or maybe you just make it so that obviously things can only battle shock if they can see them, which makes sense. Like, I'm not going to be stood behind a building and go, oh my God, that terrifying Tyranid monster that I can't see.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? True. Sure. True. I mean, the Shadow of the War is a little bit different because it's mind fucking.
Like in the sky,
but
right,
like,
as well.
The psychomancers, I don't know. It's just a bit too powerful, I think, not being able to do it in non line of sight.
I do like positive mechanics that key off Battleshock, though. Having been a recent convert to the Ruinous Powers,
the demons.
Dark packs are the best.
Dark packs are cool.
Dark packs is great. Like, dark packs, I'm running them and having a fun time. And
especially when you're like, you fail them twice in a row. I love that. That really does it for me.
To me, that's very favourable.
Yeah, no, it is.
Again, it's again the lure and temptation.
You're like,
of
dark
chaos.
Gods, and then they're like, nah, fuck you.
I actually genuinely think dark packs are the greatest mechanical representation of chaos.
It's really
ever
cool.
Conceived.
Yeah. It's really, really great. Cool. Because it's thematic and it works from a gameplay perspective.
Exactly. I've got some others, but I'll pass the torch to you. Anything that you want to
think? I think that, you know how they give like 10 points for painted? I think they should also give 10 points for hygiene.
I knew that was going to be a slam.
No, I'm joking.
Because bless you, you were like, oh, dude.
I think what they should do, one of the things that they did which annoyed me in 10th edition was that they changed a lot of rules that were really good in 9th edition just to change them. And that kind of pissed me off a little bit. And I think it pissed a lot of people off as well, because there were certain rules and certain things in the game that just didn't need to be changed, and they've since reverted some of those changes here and there. My brain's gone blank and I'm struggling to remember a few of them, but like, that's one of the things I really don't want them to do in 11th edition. Like, They've done some things in 10th that are so nice. Like, I love the way the unit cards are laid out. Like, stay with that format. Don't be like, we're coming up with a new design and it's going to, like, make it really shit to read or whatever. Like, just do that and do more of the good stuff. So, like, you know how we were crying out in 9th edition for, like, terminology, you know, things like battle shock, things like deep strike, you know, all of these terms. They haven't done enough of that, in my opinion. They've done, like, they've kind of gone halfway, and then they've kind of forgotten to do the rest of the game's terminology. And I think that they should do more of that and put it, you know, in a big index at the start. Because that was really good. So that's one of the things. I want them to just go further with that, personally.
I agree completely with that. On a similar thing, Devi Wounds versus sustained and lethal hits. Love sustained and lethal hits.
Yeah.
Great mechanic. Very cool. Devi, feel bad mechanic. Devastating Wounds, I don't think should exist in the game. And this is someone that manipulates Devastating Wounds to great effect in a lot of lists. I think anything that takes away interactivity in regards to armor save potential, where you just go, you don't get a save, is not good game design. Because it's so feel bad when that goes through and it's like a really important character and it just fattens the lion or like Angron or something and you're like, this is not very thematic.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Or if dev wounds exist, they're incredibly rare.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're
I feel like what we've got is way more common. Too many like units that have dev wounds and reroll wounds and like lots of shots. And I think that, you know, you've got a few of them. I think there's the Votann Terminators can do that sort of stuff. I can't remember.
Yeah, because like, there's always a chance that your opponent rolls hot, right? And like just rolls a load of saves. Yeah,
because they've got rerolls, they're just like, you know, really massively increasing the amount of dev wounds that they're getting through. And then obviously, unless you've got a feel no pain, that's just damage you're just taking regardless. And it does feel a bit shit sometimes. You know, I feel like I kind of agree with you. I feel like if dev wounds are going to exist, they should be on weapons where they really should exist. Like a, you know, like that massive volcano cannon or something.
Fine.
On a six.
Fine. Just make them rare.
Sure.
Just make them mega rare. Drachnian, Sword of the Emperor, Fealty, like any of these.
And they
like,
shouldn't combine with anti.
Absolutely not. No.
I noticed that they did
that
in the latest World Eaters Codex. They have dev wounds against infantry, and actually Paul was talking to me this morning and he was like, oh, it's really good because you can take your Exalted 8 band and they've got anti-vehicle 3+ and then you just get the devastating wounds one. And I was like, yeah, but it's only against infantry. And he was like, oh yeah, shit. And I was like, yeah, well, that's quite good design, because what they've done is they've said we won't give the anti stuff, you know, dev wounds, because they just flatten every vehicle, can you imagine, apart from ones with like minus one damage. So I think that they are starting to learn and starting to sort of creep forward in a better way with dev wounds, but there's just too many units that just have the ability to just be like, bleh, dev wounds.
I agree. And equally, I do like some of those like critical hit style mechanics, like the sustained and lethal.
Yeah.
Great. Like, they're cool. But they're still both interactive in as much as you still get an armor save. Oh, a wound is grand, which does skip a step.
Yeah.
But there's still a chance of saving them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Potentially.
Also, devs and lethals AP just don't combo together.
Like, yeah, exactly. They counteract
they
each other,
do,
which is really weird, but they don't sustain the lethals because they just stack.
Yep.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get these weird situations where
you don't want lethals stacked
with devies, which is really weird. So like, that's a bizarre interaction.
Yeah.
Right?
You get that with Scorpex led by lords. Like when you activate
weird.
Their dev wounds, yeah.
That's very bizarre.
It is
very,
weird.
Very bizarre. Yeah, I've also got Bring Back the Psychic Phase.
Yeah, well, looks like they kind of are with Thousand Suns almost in a kind of way.
I just mean factions phase. In general. Like,
yeah.
I don't... Look, man, like, I know that adds time to rounds. I get that. But you kind of have them in shooty kind of forms anyway, right-ish?
Yeah.
And like, it just takes all of that fun spice away from like that Battle of Wizards thing, right? Which
is
so much
it certainly
fun.
Makes it feel less unique. Like, it was always kind of cool to be like, right, I've done my movement phase, let's do the psyche phase, I'm going to do some big wizard storm and shit, like with the Eldari thing that they could do. And now it's all like baked into shooting attacks or like abilities and various bits and bobs.
They
have the psychic keyword, but they're just done at different times.
But they're also not particularly pushed.
No.
Because what I did like about psychic phase was there's no guarantee that that psychic power would come off.
Yeah.
Due to you spooning your roll or your opponent, like, I was going to say the word dispel, but it's not. It's like resisting, yeah. Right? With that roll, right? With the battle of wits or whatever, right? I think everyone should have an innate D6 roll off against it, which may be an impossible roll against 2D6. But just in case, like, you know, you get it, or I think everyone should.
Or maybe
should,
just psychers have a D6 roll against psychic.
Well, yeah, well, granted, but, like, I think psychers should always have that battle.
Because, like, anti-psycher stuff is maybe a bit too potent, and there are some forms of it in the game, though. Like, anti-psycher, is it, like, 3+ on the dogs that Korn have and stuff? Which I know they make sense because they've got the brass collars, but it almost be cooler to just have a little roll-off or something. I don't know. But, yeah, well, have to see about
it. By the way, I think there needs to be some refinement with the psychic phase.
Yeah,
it was way less re-rolls. Yeah. Way less rerolls, which is so ironic considering at the beginning of the edition, like, rerolls would be really rare.
And then they were like, oh, really? The new Space Marine trait is rerolls. And everyone was like, what?
But also, I get a feeling that rerolls are way more.
Also, just don't ever listen to what Warcom has to say. Like, they don't seem to be singing the same from the same hymn book as a lot of the time.
Absolutely not.
It's a really weird one. But yeah.
But I don't think reroll should be anywhere near as prevalent.
No,
as they
I agree
are.
Because you know, they like massively change the efficiency of units, and I think that again, I feel like that we probably hopefully see less of them in 11th edition. Fingers crossed.
And finally, terrain rules.
Yes,
and you've got to have a third party system crack your terrain rules. You fucked your terrain rules. I'm sorry.
I miss the days of -1 to hit over like trees and vents and shit like that. I do really miss that. And I think that I know that obviously we do have rules for barricades and stuff, but you just never fucking see them in the game because all they do is get in the way and cause problems. So they need to refine those. I agree. That's a really good shout.
Be humble and just even copy UKTC, right? Or like figure it out, right? Like make it really, because it just seems either very wishy-washy or way too restrictive. Like, again, there are some snide comments from the community where people are like, well, if you need so much terrain in a game, then it's obviously bad design. I don't believe that to be the case, right? I think 40K should be a heavy terrain game. It gives it a laser questy feel.
Yeah.
I like the city fight vibe. I like the fact that line of sight is important in a world where technology is at a point where you have a gun that can go like miles, right? Yeah. I think it's fine. I actually quite like terrain being a crucial part of 40K. However, if that is the case, make your rules incredibly like user-friendly and also potent.
I've got one. So,
go on.
Fly. I feel terrible. Like what they should do, because I fucking
aircraft.
Cannot...
Aircraft.
No, not aircraft.
Aircraft.
Just fly.
Oh, fly.
Fly.
Fly in general.
The keyword fly. I feel like this bending your tape measure over ruins bullshit it's
weird.
Cockeyed. It's hard to measure properly. Like, you're knocking your models over. You're catching your fucking wind riders. It's never accurate. Like, it's just a hot mess. So what I think they should do...
It's never accurate.
It's never accurate. So what I think they should do is I think if they're revising the terrain rules, what I think they should do is they should just give heights of terrain a static minus X to movement for fly. So if you are going to move through, like pivot, right?
Brilliant.
So if you're going to move through a ruin that's 4 inches or less, then fuck it, you don't get a problem. If you're going to move over 4 inches or higher, then you get like -2 or -4 to your move.
Love
and
this.
If you're going to go over a certain height again, maybe it's -6 or -8. Like
over 7 inches.
Yeah, over like a fucking massive one. And then all you need to do is measure the floor like a normal goddamn human being and then
genius.
Go -2. Fly.
Genius.
There you
That's
go.
That's actually genius.
I fixed it.
I'll give you that. No. Yeah. I'll give you that. That is mega good. You've
That's all they
mega
need to do.
Figured that out.
It's not hard.
Of just height modifiers.
Just a height thing. Measure the terrain. It's 5 inches.
Minus
That's minus 4
inches,
to my move.
-3 inches, yeah. -5
Whatever
inches.
Whatever it is.
Done.
Yeah. They could figure out the shenanigans of exactly how many inches it should
Genius.
Be. But that would fix fly as a keyword, make it 10 times fucking easier to use and measure,
and
also make it more effective because you wouldn't lose as much distance as you do currently. So I think that's the way to do it, personally.
Genius, Ed.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. That's great. Yeah, done.
Done.
Sorted.
We fixed 10th edition.
Sorted.
What are your thoughts on bodyguard units? That's another thing. Do you like them?
I love it.
Yeah, I think that a lot
it.
Of people didn't.
I actually really
I
like
do
it.
Like it.
No,
yeah.
I love it.
I like having your characters
in the front line. Do you know what it does? The only thing I don't like about it, which I think is a problem and needs to be solved,
and this is why I think you're going to tell me the same thing I'm about to say as well.
When you lose buffs based on when the unit dies and the character, that makes zero sense.
So are you talking
zero
about
fucking
so
sense.
You if you
when it leads a unit, you gain this ability.
Oh, well, like psychic hood for librarians,
dead.
Right? You know,
guess,
you know they don't have a psychic hood when their unit's dead.
That's,
which makes
that's
no
ridiculous.
Fucking sense because they what do they do? They take it off?
But also it doesn't
I'm sorry,
make sense
my
either.
Brother.
It doesn't make sense either. Like Fabius Bile is a great example. Fabius Bile giving his unit a +1 strength, +1 toughness bonus that would exist when he's in the unit, but then if he's obviously if he's precision hit, he would still get a +1 strength, +1 toughness. When the unit's dead, he doesn't have that buff.
Yeah.
That makes zero sense.
He should just
what
still get it.
Magically
yeah.
happens.
We're not saying that the
himself.
Unit should still get it if he dies. We're saying that he
no,
should
of course
get
not.
The character
That's
should still get it
That's
if the unit
fine.
Dies, right?
Absolutely.
And I think
Absolutely.
There's one other thing that I would like to see changed, and it's purely from like a gameplay perspective. And I know that there is counterplay with the way it works currently, but I feel like it kind of makes like a lot of it makes the strat redundant, which is precision requires line of sight currently. To a character, even in melee. So if you
never knew that,
yeah, it does. So like, obviously,
never
you can't snipe a character if you can't see them, which is fine from a sniper perspective. But
yeah,
when you're
in
melee
combat,
with a unit,
weird.
I don't feel like
happening.
It makes as much
nah,
sense.
Doesn't matter.
So like, if I
don't,
hide my Technomancer
yeah,
behind
yeah.
a wall, which is why, by the way, they are always behind a wall, and then my racer out
fucker,
on the point.
That's why you do that.
Yeah, that's why they're always behind a wall. Because then, if you precision the unit, you're not doing anything because you can't target him, which is great counterplay. But yeah. I feel like personally, it then kind of makes the precision strat a little bit
to
worse.
Me, precision in combat is where your character sees your character in the skirmish mm-hmm. and goes, "I'm gonna fuck him up."
Yeah. And charges
right,
through.
And he just
fucks
walks
him up.
Through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and I
attack.
Feel like what that would encourage, I know that you lose the counterplay and some people win like that, especially the competitive guys, but I feel like what it encourages is for you to front line your good characters. I don't want to have Orokin behind the wall like a little puss in boots the entire game. I want him to come out, stars are right, and give someone a fisting. And
it,
you know, if they're always at the back hiding because I don't want to use my res orb on my overlord or whatever, you know, I don't know. Personally, I just think that that should change.
Love that. Love that. That makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine for snipers.
Just some quality of life things here, apart from the psychic phase and leadership, which are two massive mechanics that need complete overhauls, in my opinion. I think it is just like just tweaking that actually, and just making that a bit more friendly. But like, hey, I guess 40K is this ever involving game. It's not like they, you know, they've had 10 editions to sort this out.
It's doing all right. I think I know that a lot of people shit on 10th and they're like, "I'm bored of 10th, it's worst game ever." But I really think it's great.
Actually, I love it. I'm weirdly still about that 10th edition life. Mm-hmm. I'm still about that.
I'm kind of nervous about 11th edition in a way because I don't want them to fuck up what we've got going on here. Like, if they can bring back one or two good things from 9th edition without fucking up the stuff we've already got in 10th edition and maybe tweak a few rules like fly, I'd
Put
be well happy.
I don't want a hard reset.
No, I don't.
I don't
think they're going to do that
this time. Edition. I don't want another fucking index edition.
I don't think... I would be very surprised. I feel like 11th would be like almost like a
10.5.
I know
that's
we've kind of
hopes,
had
sorry.
That a bit, but I feel like that's
I know that
it's
people
going.
Get a bit, like, fatigued, but I'm enjoying 10th as much, if not more so, as when it started, actually.
No, I'm loving it.
Like, I just think it plays better. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. I love the card system.
Yeah.
The old, what is it, Storm of War, whatever thingy of war system.
Yeah. You mean the mission
whatever
deck.
Whatever it was called. Yeah, but it had another name previously.
Oh, it was like Prior Nexus now, I think, or something. But they're just about to bring out a new one.
No.
Oh, you're talking about the old one?
Like 8th edition. And
oh,
stuff
yeah, they're
like
cool.
9th
yeah.
edition.
Maelstrom
whatever
of War.
It was. Maelstrom of War, yeah. Whatever, yeah. Love that.
That was
actually
fun,
love that. Don't grow it. They need to sort out the fucking deck a bit.
I'm intrigued to see what the new deck's going to be like. There's already been some leaks, but we won't discuss that now.
I'm sure you. Okay, fine. Cool. Well, there we go. That's all good.
Yeah.
So our last subject is our lore subject, as always.
Yes.
And one that you're not as familiar with, the old
scouring. I want to learn with you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take you through the scouring, and I want to hear your kind of reaction. So this is Russ's guide to the scouring for Ed, because you don't know much. You still need to fucking read a lot of the Horus Heresy
books.
I'm well
behind.
Including The Siege and all kinds of shit, which is
I keep getting distracted by Belisarius Kull's books, because I just love it.
Do you like the Fabius
I'm enjoying
versus Kull
book? Yeah, it's really good.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, loving it.
What do you know about the Scourin?
Nothing. Pretend I'm a complete novice.
Okay, I do want your reactions as we go and stuff like that, right? So people are rumoured that the Scourin is obviously going to be the next big Black Library project.
Yep.
Because obviously the Horus Heresy was its previous one that's kind of come to a close now with the siege over after 12 books later. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot of books for one battle, right? Almost a fatiguing amount of books, right? And that made top dollar, whether we like it or not. Like, the Horus Heresy made a lot of money for the Black Library and actually squeezed some of the books on, like, the bestseller lists and stuff like that, right? So, really cool fact that they exist and stuff like that. What is interesting, however, is where the future lies for that. And a lot of people are obviously saying the Scourin.
Yep.
Really interesting. Obviously, Plato, friend of the channel, loves the Scourin era and whatever. And is synonymous with being a particularly brutal time period in like 40K history, right? Where essentially the beginning of the Scourin was all about how the loyalists basically gave Chaos an absolute kicking after the siege. No one was in a good place. Obviously, the galaxy had been like torn in half, right? And like all of the loyalists were like kicking Chaos essentially out of the galaxy into the Eye of Terror. So that's the first bit of the Scourin, right? Where Chaos takes a kick in. Chaos flees into the Eye of Terror and then become their own veterans of the Long War, creating a sub-society in the Eye of Terror. However, there are some notable moments within the Scouring in particular that are really cool. The first one is one for me, which is quite of sentimentality, which is, of course, the fall of Caliban, which happens at a relatively early point in the Scouring, granted, but it's still technically in the Scouring. But we get to learn the mystery of what actually happened there. Right, and like the Lion's awesome conflict with Luther, you know, like what actually happened with that. Surely you would like to read that.
I'd be well into that. Yeah.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Then we've got the Iron Cage.
Yep.
Do you know anything about the Iron Cage? The Iron Cage is when essentially Perturabo had his like mustache villain kind of time period where he lured Dawn into his like magnum opus trap, which was called the Iron Cage, right? Which basically sent Rogal Dawn insane.
Right.
You right?
Yeah, I can hear a little man going, hello.
Oh.
So the Iron Cage, sorry if you guys heard the small man trapped inside Russ's computer. We've let him out now, hopefully.
Absolutely.
The Iron Cage.
Get us done. So yeah, the Iron Cage. So the Iron Cage was the concept of Perturabo, right, to like screw over his old nemesis, Rogal Dawn, because there was no love lost against these guys during the siege. And technically, the Siege of Terror was like a Dawn win, because it was kind of a success-ish, right? Yeah. Minus the Emperor being murdered and put on a Golden Throne, but nonetheless, like he did an almost impossible task to hold off the Chaos forces with only three legions, right? And of course the Custodes. And basically it was Perturabo's sick, twisted concept was basically creating this unwinnable maze of death.
Yeah.
To basically tempt Dawn and be like, come and get me, Dawn. And Dawn would basically lead his honor guard through this bloody maze of death to get to Perturabo, and of course he got absolutely unbelievably decimated.
Yeah,
like lost a significant amount of Imperial fists, and was really depressed and went into a really depressive stupor that he never really
was.
Came
that just
out
hubris?
And
the fact that he went in there like after him, or what?
I think Perturabo was like tempting him or whatever, being like, "Come and get me, Dawn, man," or something.
Fucking hell.
So the old Iron Cage.
Russ's gas man is just like, hello. You guys can hear it. Sorry. We keep cutting. We've done it about four times now. Right.
Iron Cage.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Imperial Fist getting a kick in. Gilliman getting put into stasis by old. Full grimace.
Yeah.
The disappearance of a lot of the Primarchs happened in the Scouring. So, of course, Russ disappeared. Khan disappeared. A lot of the Demon Primarchs were doing freaky Demon Primarch things or ascending Demon Primarchhood, such as Lorgar and Purty, and lots of other characters were ascending to Demonhood. I think that may be the Iron Cage is actually how Perturabo did actually even ascend to Demonhood.
Interesting.
As a result of using all of that Imperial Fist gene seed as some sort of tribute or something. Bile getting wrecked by the old salamanders and being exiled into the warp also happened. And more importantly, the rise of the ecclesiarchy.
Interesting.
So the transition from the imperial truth as like the imperium held onto for such a long time into the religious.
And I guess the high lords of terror regime and stuff like that would start, you know, coming into power.
They always existed, believe it or not.
But were they. I imagine when the emperor was knocking about, they weren't quite as prevalent. What the fuck is going on?
So, yes, the rise of the old ecclesiarchy.
Yeah.
It really interesting, right? Because obviously that's a complete counter to what the Imperium was originally meant to be.
Yeah.
And the Imperial troop was meant to be. And obviously, as you say, the High Lords of Terror becoming way more of a massive factorial force, and less about the Primarchs, actually.
This when a few of the sort of lesser legions and stuff got wiped out? Because I know the Carcharodons did a bit of... Who were the guys that got killed? It wasn't the Raptors. What were they called?
Well, the Fire Raptors.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah. Essentially, what also happens during the Scouring, and this relates to your point, is that, of course, the Codex Astartes, right?
Yes.
And, like, the breaking of legions down into chapters and how that was kind of perceived and stuff like that, right? So, yeah, I mean, a lot happened within internal political affairs in regards to, like, how legions were broke down into sub-chapters and which Primarch liked it, which Primarch didn't like it, because obviously, very famously, like, Dawn and Leman Russ and stuff hated it. Rather, some other Primarchs were a bit more indifferent and kind of went along with it, and some were quite pro, like, chapters and stuff like that, right? Of course, the death of old Sigismund. A lot of death happened in the Scouring. Like, a lot of character death. A lot of characters that were left over from the Horus Heresy that needed to be removed.
But this is cool, though, because this is exactly the sort of stuff we love in storytelling, right? What we were talking about previously. Yeah, lots of kills.
Very, very grimdark.
Of important characters, so no punches pulled, which we love.
Yes, well, this is it, right? It could be quite a juicy setting, actually. Mm. There could be some especially juicy things. Were there anything there that tickled your pickle in regards
to... Yeah, I mean, it all sounds pretty cool, to be honest with you. I'd like to read about the Perturabo sort of death maze thing. That sounds really cool. Yeah, that sounds very interesting.
It is very cool.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
What were your favourite points from the Scouring, peeps?
Yeah, let us know. And also, you know, will Russ find his Emperor's gold? Will Russ's gas man ever make it out of the computer and go, hello?
Find out next time on In the Tank.
Well, find out the week after next.
Thank you. Well, yes, true. Oh, my God. Yeah, true. The fortnightly thing. No. Fortnightly format. Either way, join us on our hobby hangout. When will our next hobby hangout be then?
You'll be able to go on next week. I'm away. I might be able to jump on at some point. So we'll see.
So the next hobby hangout will be the 27th. I will be around. Or will I be around?
We'll find out. Be around. Cool.
I should be around. But thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And we will catch you the week after next.
Absolutely.
Have a good day.
See you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Peace.